Thank you. Amen. I want to welcome you tonight. That's our pre-worship song for this coming Sunday morning. We always like to introduce that on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights to kind of get you used to it and ready for that as we get ready to celebrate Palm Sunday this coming Sunday. And so we're glad that you're here with us. Want to welcome everybody who's on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe, do all those things. Comment especially if you have prayer requests tonight. Be sure to do that over on Facebook. That's what we'll be looking at for the live to see there any requests that you might leave for us. And then welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. Again, if you need that number, you know someone who doesn't have the internet, it's a toll-free call. It calls them automatically, just like when our other stuff goes live, it goes live. And so welcome to those who are listening on that platform. If you do have access to our church website, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin for this week. Lots of upcoming activities. Please get that downloaded or pick up one if you're here in person. We've got our children's worship bulletins, one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. They're in the windowsill to my right. They're also under that info tab. And then especially for tonight is our prayer list. Be sure to get that downloaded for tonight. These are on the front pew here if you didn't get one when you came in. If you see someone come in late, please make sure that they get one. While you're there on the church website, I want to encourage you to do your online giving. Go to the far right-hand side, click that Give Online tab. You can do your regular giving. You can do your Annie Armstrong Easter offering giving. Do continue to keep praying for those missionaries in that guide. We're still sharing some of those stories of those missionaries on Sunday mornings. We'll be sharing a new story with you this coming Sunday. Each story we hear is a blessing for us, and so just wanted to make sure you knew about that. Also, don't forget to be praying for our missionaries in Moldova. Just wanted to mention that to you also. We do have some cards that are down here at the front as well as in the windowsills as you leave tonight. Be sure to get some of these. Share these with kids in your neighborhood, friends. It's not just for kids. It does tell about the Easter egg hunt on one side, but it tells about our Easter services on the other side. We have for our Easter services, we've got our sunrise service, a breakfast after that, April the 5th, and then Easter worship service with our choir singing cantata. We won't have any evening worship service that evening. Our Easter egg hunt is this Saturday, 1 to 3, so I want to invite everybody to come for that. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful blessing for that. And then also, coming up this Sunday is a Fifth Sunday, so we'll be having Fifth Sunday dinner and sing that night. So if you're interested in singing, let us know. We'll get you on the docket for that. But we also just wanted to remind you, the ham is being provided, the drinks are being provided. All we're asking you to bring is the sides, your favorite sides. Bring your desserts for that. Bring those to the fellowship hall when you come Sunday morning, and we encourage you to come for that. Come ready to eat. Bring some friends to eat. There's going to be plenty to eat, plenty to fellowship with others, and it's a great opportunity, especially as we're doing the Bless ministry. Praying for people in your neighborhoods. One of the things of that is to invite people to come and eat with you, whether that's to go out to eat, over to your house to eat, or to come on Wednesday nights to eat. That is back in place tonight, as well as we'll be through the end of the school year, well, through the end of Awana, which will end the end of April. So you've got to the end of April to invite friends to come for that. If you've not signed up yet for the Women's Night of Worship, please don't forget that also. That's out there on our social media platform too. You can scan the QR code that you see on your screen there or in your bulletin. You can see also there the dinner starts at 5, the worship starts at 6. Go ahead and get registered for that. It's free. It's going to be at Trinity Baptist over in Manchester on the 11th at 5 o'clock and then 6 o'clock. We have another event that's happening here at the church that's in your bulletin for women that Saturday morning. And then coming up on the 12th, we have Endless Highway that's going to be here in concert that Sunday morning, it's the Sunday after Easter. That's right. Trying to add all that up. Yeah, it is the Sunday after Easter, 10:15. When we have a group come on Sunday morning, we like to give them a little bit of extra time. And so that's why we start at 10:15 with them. Our broadcast won't start until 10:30 as normal. But 10:15 is when we will begin with worship with them. And so just want to remind you of that. Share the word about that. We've got some posters down here at the front. If you want to take those and share those are on our Facebook page. Also, coming up Saturday, we'll have a new group also that's going to be there on our social media platform for you to share that one also that's coming up at the end of April. And so just wanted to remind you of both of those events, April 12th, Endless Highway in concert. Come ready to worship there. Brother Mike.
Good evening, everyone. Take your hymnals and turn to hymn 294. First verse of this song actually is directly tied with Brother Jim's sermon tonight. The rest of them are just wonderful words to live by, and letting the Lord have his way in our life. So if you can and would stand, and let's sing 294. Ms. Hill.
You to go ahead and get your prayer list out there. Again, I'm on Facebook. If you have any prayer requests, please leave those there on Facebook. We'll be watching that to see if you have any. As we take a look at our prayer list on the Highland Baptist Church family side, we're going to start with Ken Tatum and follow on down. Actually, Amy Jackson is where we'll start because I do need to share about her. So we'll just start with Amy. She is had her liver biopsy last week. They did determine that it is in her liver also, which they told her that probably means that she is stage four with kidney cancer. And so just keep her in your prayers. She's going to be on some treatments starting either Friday or Monday, one of the two. I'm not sure of that, but I know she'll be starting on some treatments. She goes back to her doctor on Friday, but just keep her in your prayers with all that she has going on with her treatment for her kidney cancer. We have also George Duncan. Keep him in your prayers. Ken Tatum, who still has his bone cancer chemo. I don't know that he's doing chemo treatments now, but he still has that with some pain that he's experiencing. Diane Tatum, keep her in your prayers. Gordon Jackson, who's at home recovering. Tommy Griffin, he did have to go back to the hospital week before last, but is back at home, recovering at home, but his situation doesn't seem to be improving a whole lot, but keep him in your prayers. Remember Miss Carolyn Waller, is she still healing from her back surgery and still recovering from that. Miss Gayla Everett, the same. She also had back surgery and still continues to have lots of back pain there. So keep her and Robert in your prayers as he has some ongoing medical issues also. Remember Miss Beth Kidd, who's recovering at home. Linda Jones, who continues to have some medical issues. Leanne Wells, who's recovering at home from her hip replacement surgery. She's still in some pain there from that, so keep her in your prayers as she continues to heal. And then also Miss Barbara Waller. Remember Roger Williams, who's recovering at home from his surgery, as well as Kay Williams. Rogers was a knee replacement there, so keep him in your prayers. And then also Miss Catherine Smith, who is back at home now, not in the nursing home anymore. Mike, we want to mention you. Is that okay? All right. So we want to mention Mike in our prayers. Keep him in your prayers. He's got his arm in a sling tonight. You want to share with the people what's going on? So he had a lot going on there. Had to have a nerve move there. So he had to have elbow surgery. Is that right? The way I said it. And then also they fix his trigger finger in there. Also, not because he's shooting a gun or anything. You know how it locks up with you. I had that happen about a week and a half ago. And gosh, that was so painful, so painful. So keep him in your prayers as he continues to heal from that. Anybody else on our church family side that we need to add? All right, on our friends and family side, we'll start with Miss Mary Leibig, who is Linda Smith's mother. She asked me to share with you that the main thing they're praying for her right now is relief from pain that she experiences, so just continue to keep her in prayer. She is back home now out of the facility that she was in. She's adjusted and doing well there, but still has some ongoing pain, so keep her in prayers for that. Remember Lonnie Lance in your prayers. That's Faye Mae's brother with cancer. Hanka Graham, who has cancer. That's a friend of Donna Jackson's. And then remember Kim Saunders with medical issues. Alton Scroggs, who had his knee replacement surgery a couple of weeks ago. I've not heard how he is doing from that, but I'll try to get an update for that next week. Scarlett's not here tonight, so Bethany Curtis, keep her in your prayers, as well as Josiah Wendell. Any update on the baby? Okay, so that's on Josiah Wendell, who was the preemie baby who had, let me write the note here, who had liver failure and had a liver transplant done, has some broken ribs, which they said was kind of to be expected with a surgery like that, has been extubated, so is breathing on his own, but will still remain in the hospital for a couple more months. So just continue to keep Josiah Wendell and his family in your prayers. Remember Tim Forsyth, he is the youth minister over at Trinity Baptist in Manchester, where our Women's Night of Worship is gonna be at. His cancer is back. They are doing some treatments now. He just started on those. I don't know if that was today or yesterday, but he just started on those, so keep him in your prayers. Pray that that will work and help there with his situation. It has before, and we're just praying that it will continue to do so. Remember Beth Durrell, any update there on her? Okay, so Beth Durrell, who has some heart issues, she had another procedure done, hoping to maybe not have to have a heart surgery done there, but that may still have to happen, so keep her in your prayers. Her son had passed away just recently, and this is a friend of Mike Stringfield's brother, so keep them in your prayers. Also remember remember Summer Collins, who is 3 years old. Our daughter Ashley mentioned us to ask her for prayer. This is Max, her husband's niece, She is 3 years old, has some kind of skin disease. I forgot to remember the name of it. It actually has something to do with gastroenterology also, but her skin is peeling on her hands and some other places on her body, so just keep her in your prayers. They've got her on antibiotics. She's at home, but she will have to do some follow-up visits to St. Louis, to the hospital there. Marion Burks, who is Linda Jones' sister, recovering from surgery, keep her in your prayers. And then Miss Joanne Woodson, any update on her?
She had two procedures.
Okay. So this is Joanne Woodson. She did have two procedures done. One was to do some kind of sealing around the lungs with the fluid to keep the fluid from building up that she had been having, but she is at home now. But just continue to keep her in your prayers as she continues to heal from that. And then also Lincoln Hastings, who had lung surgery, is recovering at home and don't have any more update on that. As I look on Facebook, I don't see any other prayer requests there. Are there any others on the friends and family side there we need to update or add this evening? All right, on the nursing home side, we have Bertie Davis, who's at Brookdale, Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home, Miss Mary Lee Stringfield at Lynchburg Nursing Home, and Suzanne Barton also at Lynchburg Nursing Home. The update that I got from Eddie yesterday was that Suzanne is doing okay with her physical therapy, but still extremely weak. Her heart rate is up and the hemoglobin count is low. She's probably going to get a couple of units of blood in the morning, which was this morning, and hoping that will help with the low energy. So just keep her in your prayers and Eddie in your prayers as she continues to have some ups and downs there. All right, anyone else? If you're at home and you still didn't get your request on Facebook yet and you want to do that, please do that. We'll try to get back to that at the end of the service to add any that may update there. But let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these requests that we know of. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, and thank you for your loving kindness for being with us tonight. We pray, God, that you will be with each one of these people that are mentioned on this prayer list. Some we mentioned, some we didn't. Lord, you know each person's situation tonight. As we come before you in prayer, we want you to hear our prayers. And so we come, Lord, asking you to forgive us of our sins. We ask, Lord, as we come into your presence, may you shine the light of your truth on our hearts, that any sin that is there, maybe something we didn't even think about that we did or thought or maybe we didn't do that we should have done. Father, I pray that you would forgive us of our sin. Bring it to the light that we might confess it and repent of it and turn away from it. Lord, we want to pray powerful, effectual prayers on behalf of each one of these individuals that are on this list. And so we just ask, God, for your divine hand of healing to be upon each person. We ask, Lord, for you to move in their lives in a powerful way to bring healing to their bodies. Be with their caregivers, doctors, nurses, surgeons, Lord, those who have upcoming surgeries, those who have come through surgeries. Lord, I pray that your hand will be upon them and that you will give those individuals who are caregivers wisdom and discernment and blessing as they care for each one of these. Maybe their family members who are caregivers also. We just ask, Lord, for you to wrap your loving arms around each one of these individuals. Let them see and know your presence with them. Father, I pray that you will give them in their hearts a peace that passes all understanding. And we just pray, God, that you will show your power in a glorious way that we might be able to testify of your grace and your mercy and your glory and your honor. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our lives. Even tonight, Father, I pray that you'll be with our Awana kids who are meeting, studying your word, who are meeting, fellowshipping. They're also practicing, Lord, we know, to get ready for Easter, to sing with the adult choir too. We just pray, God, that all of that will work about to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, we pray for you to just bless them and to bless our choir as we continue to practice and getting ready for that. Bless us all in a special way. Be with our youth, Lord, and just, Lord, light a fire in their hearts, a passion, Lord, for you for knowing you, for loving you, for sharing you with their friends and with people around them, Lord, in their culture, that you might use them as witnesses at school and in their communities, maybe even in their families. Father, we just pray that you will bless them, give them that thirst and hunger for you. We pray for our leaders, give them wisdom and discernment too, and may your blessings be upon all of them also. Be with us tonight as we come to study the book of Jeremiah once again. And Father, I pray that your word would be alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that you have given to us, and we look forward to hearing you speaking to our hearts tonight, especially for those, Lord, who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. May they hear the word of the gospel here in Jeremiah chapter 18 tonight, Lord. And I pray that it will encourage their hearts to trust by faith in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. I pray, Lord, that you would use it in the lives of those who are believers. Lord, that you will strengthen our faith with you, that you will help us to grow stronger with you. And we just pray, Lord, for your will to be done. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I did fail to mention earlier when I mentioned the Bless app, one of the aspects that we get as a part of that ministry and resource that we are taking advantage of there is they send us a list of new movers to the area. We've got one that they sent to us today. If somebody wanted to maybe write them a card, just inviting them maybe to come to church, welcoming them to Tullahoma. From all indications, this is someone who's moved from a different area to here. I have their name and address here if you want to get that from me after the service, and maybe just write them a card to invite them to come. And we just are so excited for our new baby that's here with us tonight also. All right. So take your, and the mom and dad too. We're glad to have them back. But we know we love those babies. That's what I say to my kids, about my grandkids. We're excited for you, but we love those grandkids a little more. Take your Bibles tonight and turn, if you will, to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 1 down through verse 23. This is an awesome, awesome chapter. You may have read parts of this before, and it is a wonderful book to always go back to. You're going to see and hear some things that we've already been saying from Jeremiah. The message hasn't changed from Jeremiah as he's preaching to the Israelites. And to be honest, they don't like everything he has to say. He's uncomfortable sometimes having to say the things that he's having to say. But in tonight's chapter, the Lord has him do something that is totally out of character for what he has been doing. We're going to see even more of that as we continue in the book of Jeremiah. He uses a real-life illustration to teach him a truth that he wants to teach the nation of Israel as well as to us. And so as we come to this chapter in chapter 18, understand this: you cannot go back and start life all over, but God can start over with you right where you are. Think about this: if you were to take a clay pot and you were to drop that clay pot on a concrete floor, what would happen to it? It would shatter. It would shatter into pieces. You could pick up all of those pieces, but you could never put it back exactly the way that it was. You might glue it together, but the cracks would still show. It would never be the same vessel again. You know, many people feel that way about their own lives. They feel like something has been broken, maybe by sin, maybe by failure, maybe by bad decisions that they made in life, maybe by the things that's happened to them that were outside of their control. And some people feel like their life will never be what it could have been. In Jeremiah chapter 18 here, God didn't send Jeremiah to a palace. He doesn't send him to a temple. He doesn't send him to a battlefield. He sends him to a workshop. He sends him to a potter's house. And in that simple workshop of the potter's house, Jeremiah sees something that explains how God works in the lives of the nation of Judah and Israel, as well as how God works in our lives. What he saw was a potter with a lump of clay, shaping it on a wheel, applying pressure with his hands, forming something useful and beautiful. And as he's doing that, something went wrong. The vessel was marred in the potter's hand. And the potter did what he did next becomes one of the most powerful pictures of grace in the Old Testament. He didn't throw the clay away. He makes it again into another vessel. I wonder how many people, if they were completely honest, would say there are things in their life that they wish they could go back and change. Decisions that maybe you regret. Opportunities that maybe you missed. Words that you wish that you had maybe never spoken. Paths that you wish you had never taken. Most people at some point wish they could start over. If they could rewind life, knowing what they know now, and begin again with what they know, they would do some things very differently. The problem is that life doesn't give us do-overs, does it? You cannot rewind the clock. You cannot relive yesterday. You cannot undo your past. And so whether you realize it or not, every one of us is living our life on the potter's wheel. Life keeps turning. Circumstances change. Situations change. People change. Opportunities come and opportunities go. And sometimes life spins faster than we want it to. And while that wheel is turning, there is a hand that is shaping us. Sometimes that hand presses, sometimes it corrects, sometimes it smooths, sometimes it applies pressure that we don't always understand. Someone once said that many people live their lives this way. Youth is a mistake, adulthood is a struggle, and old age is full of regrets. A lot of people spend their lives wishing they had made different choices, taken those different paths, and live differently. They live with regret. Some people live with guilt and feeling that they missed God's plan for their life. But here is Jeremiah in this potter's house. And in that moment in this potter's house, Jeremiah learned something about God that every one of us needs to understand. That he is the potter and we are the clay and God is not finished with us yet. Jeremiah 18 teaches us that when a vessel is marred in the hands of the potter, he doesn't throw it away, he makes it into another vessel. Now the Hebrew word there for potter is the word yatsar. It means to form or fashion. In other words, as it's used here as a noun, as a potter, it's one who forms, one who fashions. It is also used, the same word is used as a verb in many other places. And in fact, it's used all the way back in the beginning of the book of Genesis when God formed man from the dust of the ground. And so the message is clear. The God who formed humanity in the beginning is still actively shaping our lives. What Jeremiah witnesses here was not just a craftsman at work, but it's a living picture of God's relationship with us. God isn't just a God of creation, he's a God of restoration. He isn't just the God who begins things, he is the God who begins things again. And that's the message of hope for broken lives, that we can start life over. We can't, but God can start something new right where we are. So here's the master potter shaping every life that is yielded to him. And the question is not whether the potter is working. The question is whether the clay is yielding. And that's exactly what Jeremiah learns when God sends him down to the potter's house. So let's look at the picture of what happens here as the vessel is made in verse 1 down through verse 7. Verse 1 begins, the sin of Judah is written with a pen, that's 17. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house. The Lord told him to go, so he goes. He goes down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled, ruined, marred in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up, break down, and destroy it. And so we see in these first verses here, he is looking at this vessel that's being made, especially there in verse 6. God gives the meaning of what Jeremiah sees at the potter's house. The Lord says, as that clay that you saw was in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand. And so this picture is very clear. God is the potter, we are the clay. He is the master craftsman, and he is shaping our lives according to his plan and according to his purpose. The Bible teaches that this is not true not only spiritually, but also physically. If you go back to the story of Job, in Job chapter 10 and verse 9, Job uses this imagery also and says that God made him like clay. Physically, we are formed from the dust of the earth, and one day our bodies will return to the dust. But this truth is even more important spiritually, because clay by itself isn't beautiful. Clay by itself is not useful. It's dirty, it's shapeless, it's unable to change itself. And in the same way, apart from God, we cannot shape our lives into what our lives were meant to be. We can't become what God created us to be without his work in our lives. But just like a potter can take a lump of clay and shape it into something useful and beautiful, God can take your life and shape it into something that honors him and fulfills his purpose. Now, as we said before, some people believe that they can shape their own lives without God. They want to be independent, self-directed. They want to be what the world calls self-made. But the truth is that no person can make themselves into what they were meant to be without God. Just like that clay cannot shape itself into a vessel, we cannot shape our lives into God's purpose apart from him. What we need and what you need is the touch of the master's hand. When the potter shapes a vessel, here are two things I want to make sure that you understand. Two things that are always involved when the potter shapes a vessel. One is the touch of the potter's hands, and secondly, the turning of the potter's wheel. Those two things form the vessel: the touch of the potter's hand and the turning of the potter's wheel. Those two things represent God's primary way that he works in our lives. So what are those? The potter's hands represent the direct work of God through his word. He works on us, he molds us, he shapes us, his spirit, his discipline, his guidance, all of those are the potter's hand directing his work in our lives. But there's also the wheel that the clay is spinning on. And the wheel represents the circumstances of life. It represents the daily events, the situations that we face, the trials, the blessings, the disappointments, and the opportunities that constantly are changing and move into our lives. You know, life often feels like that wheel, doesn't it? It feels like we're just spinning and spinning and spinning and going faster and faster. Sometimes it slows down. Sometimes it spins very quickly. There are times we don't understand why certain things happen to us. We may even ask, why did this happen? Why did God allow this? Why did things turn out this way? But what we need to remember is that while the wheel is turning, the potter's hands are still shaping the clay. God is always working through the circumstances of life to shape us into what he wants us to be. In fact, the Bible reminds us over in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 55, that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. We don't always understand what God is doing because we don't see the whole picture the way he does. Many times, what we see is only the immediate situation, but God sees the end result. We see and experience the pressure. God sees the vessel that He's forming. We see the difficulties that we're going through on the spinning wheel of life, and God sees the purpose. We see all the confusion around us, but God sees the design. And so throughout Scripture, you see that God often works in people in ways people don't expect. When the Israelites, you remember they were in the wilderness. You remember there was a time there that they got bit by some serpents. And they probably expected, God, why don't you just get rid of these serpents? But instead, what did God do? God told Moses to build a staff with a bronze serpent upon it that whoever would look at it would live. Totally different than what they would have thought to do. You think about in the New Testament when Saul was persecuting the church. Believers may have prayed, God, why don't you just get rid of this Saul who's killing us Christians? And they would have thought maybe that God would remove him. But instead, God saved him and made him the Apostle Paul. God's ways are different from what we would expect. But His ways are always right and always purposeful. So when we don't understand the circumstances in our lives, we need to remember whose wheel we're on. We're on the potter's wheel. And that wheel may be turning in ways that we don't understand. There may be pressures on us that we don't understand, but the potter knows exactly what he's doing. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 reminds us that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that things are easy. That doesn't mean that things are pleasant. But it does mean that God uses all things to shape our lives according to his plan. That turning of the wheel and the touch of the master's hand together are God's ways of shaping our lives into vessels that are useful for his purposes. So God knows what he's making even when we don't understand the process. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, am I yielding to the potter's hand or am I resisting God, what he's trying to do in my life? So notice, not only is the vessel made, we see that the vessel is marred. The vessel is marred. Look at verse 4 again. In verse 4 he says, the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled or marred in the potter's hands. Now, as Jeremiah, as we get the picture here, is watching the potter work, he notices something about the vessel. It becomes marred. What does that word marred mean? It means spoiled or damaged or ruined. It's important to understand that the problem was not with the potter's skillful hands. The problem was with the clay itself. Something within the clay caused the vessel to collapse or to become misshapen while he was trying to form it. That's a very important spiritual lesson for us to learn, that when a life isn't what it should be, the problem is never God. God does not make mistakes. God does not fail in his work. When something is wrong in the vessel, the problem is always in the clay. Think about this. In ancient pottery, clay often contained impurities. Many times there would be small stones. There would maybe be air pockets or bits of debris that would be hidden inside the clay. And when pressure was applied to that clay on the wheel, those hidden impurities would cause that vessel to weaken or to collapse. And so the picture for us is that spiritually, that's a picture of the human heart. Sometimes the reason a life isn't developing the way it should is because maybe there's hidden sins in our life or hidden attitudes that are beneath the surface. Other people may not see them, but God sees them clearly. And that's why it's important to understand the difference between reputation and character. Understand what reputation is. Reputation is what people think we are. But character is what God knows we are. A person may look fine on the outside, but on the inside, there's sin that's hidden that can still mar the vessel. At other times, the problem isn't hidden sin. Sometimes it's an open, resistant, unyielding spirit. Clay has to remain soft and pliable so it can be shaped by the potter. If that clay becomes stiff, it cannot be shaped properly. And sometimes in the same way, when we resist God, when we refuse maybe to forgive somebody, or we refuse to obey what God tells us to do, when we hold on to pride, or maybe we ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our life, then we become stiff clay in the potter's hands. God's still working. God's still trying to fashion and shape in us, but we're resisting his work, and the vessel of our life becomes marred. So the tragedy is that many lives are not what they could have been, not because God failed, but because the clay did not yield. So understand that. God knows exactly what he's making, and his plan for your life is for your good. But if you resist him and hold on to sin or refuse to surrender to his will, you're interfering in what he is trying to do in your life. And so the lesson of the marred vessel is a simple but important one. The problem is never with the potter. The problem is always in the clay, in us. But know this, it's not hopeless. We see the third point, the vessel mended, in verse 4 and then verse 6 down through verse 10. Again in verse 4, he says, "And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it, remade it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do." Going down to verse 6. He says, "The Lord came to me and said, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I have intended to do to it." So notice what's happening here in these verses. This third picture we see here is of the vessel remade. Notice here, the vessel that the potter was making is marred in his hands. Rather than throwing the clay away, he makes it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. That's a beautiful picture also of the grace of God there. The clay was marred. The vessel wasn't what the potter intended at first, but he doesn't throw it away. He reshapes it. Now, the reason the potter could remake the vessel is because the clay was still soft. The clay had not gotten to the place yet where it was hardened. It was pliable still. It was still workable. It was still in the potter's hands. So just as we said before, as long as the clay remains soft, the potter can reshape it. As long as a person's heart is still tender towards God, as long as they're willing to repent, willing to surrender, willing to yield to him, God can reshape a person's life. No matter what mistakes you've been made in your life, no matter how marred the vessel may be, God can make it again. And in the context of Jeremiah here, God was speaking first to the nation of Israel. He was telling them that even though judgment was coming because of their sin, he tells them in these verses we just read in verse 6 through verse 10, if they would repent and turn back to him, he would restore them. He explains it clearly. God says that if he pronounces judgment on a nation and that nation repents, he will relent from the judgment. And if he promises blessing and that nation turns to evil, he may withhold the blessing. The principle is that God responds to repentance and obedience. And what this passage shows us here is the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. God is the potter, but the condition of the clay still matters. What is true for a nation is also true for us as individuals. As we said before, there are many who feel like they've ruined their lives. They've missed God's plan for them, and they think that they've had too many mistakes, gone too far. But the message from the potter's house is that God is the God of another chance. Throughout Scripture, you see that again and again and again. You go back to Jacob. Jacob failed, and he wandered away from God, but God brought him back and renewed his covenant with him. You remember Jonah? Jonah ran from God, didn't he? And he got into all kinds of trouble when he ran from God, and that great fish swallowed him up, but God gave him another chance, another opportunity to obey. You remember Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, had told Jesus, "I'll never deny you," and Jesus said, "Yes, you will. Three times you're going to deny me before the rooster crows tonight." And Peter denied Jesus. But you remember what happened to Peter? Jesus sat down with him on a seashore there after his resurrection and ate fish with him and said, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And those three times he was restoring Peter and using him mightily later in the early church. Samson in the Old Testament, he failed morally. We looked at his life a few weeks ago in the book of Hebrews. He failed morally and spiritually. And yet in the end, he cried out to God, and God used him one more time. The Bible is full of people whose lives were marred, and yet God remade them and used them again. We need to understand this truth, that when the potter remade the vessel, he didn't necessarily make the same vessel again. He made another vessel according to his design. So understand this. Sometimes when we fail, we want God to restore everything exactly the way it was before. But sometimes God does something different. He reshapes our lives into another vessel, another purpose, another direction of service. And it may not be what we originally planned, but it will be what the potter planned. And his plan is always best. So when God mends a broken life, we have to surrender the pieces to him. You cannot hold on to your pride. You cannot hold on to sin. You cannot hold on to stubbornness and expect God to remake you. We have to come to God honestly and humbly and say to him, "Lord, here is my life. I've made mistakes. I failed. I'm marred, but I give myself back to you. Shape me, Lord, into what you want me to be." And when a person truly surrenders to God like that, God can give them a new beginning, reshape their lives, redirect their path, and use them in ways that they never even imagined. What a message this tells us, that failure is not final. It tells us that sin in your life doesn't have to be the end of the story. And it tells us that God is not finished with us, even when we fall. As long as we are still soft in his hands, he can make us again into another vessel that is useful for his purposes and brings glory to him. But notice what happens for the nation of Israel as we see the vessel broken. Go to verse 11 down to verse 23. "Now therefore say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. But they say, That is in vain. We will follow our own plans, and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask among the nations who has heard the like of this. The virgin Israel has done a very horrible thing. Does the snow of Lebanon leave the crags of Syrian? Does the mountain waters run dry, the cold flowing streams? But my people have forgotten me. They make offerings to false gods. They have made them stumble in their their ways in the ancient roads and to walk into the side roads, not the highway, making their land a horror, a thing to be hissed at forever. Everyone who passes by it is horrified and shakes his head. Verse 17, like the east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back, not my face, in the day of their calamity. Then they said, come, let us make plots against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us strike him with the tongue, and let us not pay attention to any of his words. Hear me, O Lord, listen to the voice of my adversaries. So they didn't like what he had to say. And then verse 20 goes on to say, should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for my life. Remember how I stood before you to speak good for them, to turn away your wrath from them? Therefore, deliver up their children to famine. Give them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives become childless and widowed. May their men meet death by pestilence. Their youths be struck down by the sword in battle. May a cry be heard from their houses when you bring the plunderer suddenly upon them. For they have dug a pit to take me and laid snares for my feet. Yet you, O Lord, know all their plotting to kill me. Forgive not their iniquity, nor blot out their sin from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. Jeremiah is experiencing the pressure from the people. But then notice the first two verses of chapter 19. The Lord says, go buy a potter's earthenware flask. Take some of the elders of the people, some of the elders of the priests, and go out in the valley of the son of Hinnom at the entry of the potsherd gate, and proclaim there the words that I tell you. Verse 10, then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so I will break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, so that it can never be mended. Men shall bury in Topheth, because there will be no place else to bury. Thus will I do to this place, declares the Lord, and to its inhabitants, making this city like Topheth. The houses of Jerusalem, the houses of the king of Judah, all the houses on the roof whose roof offerings have been offered to all the hosts of heaven and drink offerings have been poured out to other gods, shall be defiled like the place of Topheth. What a message. The vessel broken because they would not repent. All that we would repent and turn back to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the potter and we are the clay. And we thank you that even when our lives are marred by sin and failure and disobedience, you're still willing to shape us and to forgive us and to give us a new beginning. Lord, we pray that you would help us to stay soft in your hands, to listen to you speak to us and to obey when you lead. Search our hearts and remove anything that should not be there, and shape our lives into vessels that honor you. We surrender ourselves to you today and trust you with every part of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. We look forward to seeing you Saturday for our Easter egg hunt, 1 to 3. Come for that. You'll receive a wonderful blessing just coming and talking to some of the families, but bring your kids too for that. And then Sunday, we look forward to seeing you then, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. You have a blessed week, a safe week. We'll see you this coming Sunday.